Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Ritmus NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
I was reading the other day about divorces, and what it said is, like, this is a huge time of year for divorces. From what I read, it sounded like it was going to be every year. This is the time that people start to file. I don't know why that is, but we have people here who can explain that. One is Greg Keel, and you've probably heard Greg on the radio with me before. Greg's a certified financial planner. He's got a whole bunch of acronyms that I can't ever remember, but I got them right here. But I figure I'll let Greg explain a little bit about himself and introduce our guest.
Great to be back, Rick. Thanks a lot. I hope everybody had a wonderful holiday season and ready for a fantastic new year. But that's right. I'm Greg Keel, certified divorce financial analyst and certified financial planner, among other things. And it is the divorce season. I don't know if people decide to get through the holidays and then just can't take another second of each other or what exactly it is. But usually it's January 4th. This year it's going to be January 6th. That's the official divorce day, because that is the highest filing day typically in any given year, and a devastating time for a lot of families. But we're here to help. Today we have with us one of the finest attorneys in Indianapolis, by my and several other people's reckoning, I suppose, Claire Emsweiler. And I'll just let Claire introduce herself.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. As Greg said, I'm Claire Emsweiler. I'm a partner at Emsweiler, Williams, Nolan and Clark in Indianapolis. We're about 14 lawyers. We do a lot of civil work. I primarily practice in divorce work. It's a big week for me. And then I also do estate planning, estate litigation, estate administration. Basically, death and divorce are my go-tos, my bread and butter there.
And how would somebody contact you if they needed to hear you and they want to talk about one of those two?
Well, it depends if you're a millennial or you're a little bit older. We do have a website, ewnc-law.com, or you can call 317-257-8787. We'd be happy to talk to you. I make my own appointments, so that'd be the best way to get a hold of me.
Awesome.
One of the things that comes up a lot as we work with folks going through divorce is what to do with the debt. So the asset side is where me and my people come in, but we also have to resolve real estate issues. Maybe there's a house with a mortgage. Maybe there's some rental properties with a mortgage, credit cards in different people's names. Claire, if I could, what are the top two or three definitely do's and top two or three definitely don'ts that you would start people off with in debt issues related to a divorce?
Well, number one, it's identifying and be familiar with your debts. Some people in their marriages, somebody knows what's going on with the money and somebody has no idea. So get everything on the table, know what you're working with, get asset values that you can agree on, and then determine who's in the best position to pay off those debts. That's where I start. We don't split everything down the middle in a divorce. That would be cumbersome and sometimes expensive. So if there's an asset that, say a house, and one party's gonna take that asset and they don't really have the cash to pay off the other party, perhaps they can take on a little bit more debt and even out the balance sheet that way.
You know, what I notice on the mortgage side is that a lot of times I'll end up with somebody after the divorce is final. And in the divorce decree, they have to refinance the home within 6 months, usually, or they have to sell it, something like that. But because they didn't get with the mortgage person, hopefully me, ahead of time, they find out when they call me that they aren't qualified to buy that home or to finance that home in their own name. And it's how do you avoid that, or how have you helped your clients avoid that situation?
One of the first questions I ask someone when they come in is, do you want to keep the home? Or do either of you want to keep the home? If there's children, that's a very big priority for a lot of people. And if they tell me they want to keep the home, the number one thing I tell them to do is call a mortgage broker. Find out, you know, they're not going to give you a mortgage until everything's final. They want to know what your financial position is going to be. But get somebody on the phone, get information to them as it comes. And if you do get a legal separation agreement or a divorce decree, give it to them immediately. I can't negotiate very well if I don't know if someone's going to be able to refinance or not. I don't know how much time to give them. And a big risk is if you give them 6 months to a year, you let them go beyond that, and then both parties are in a lot of trouble.
Right. And the real problem there is if you can't finance it, the spouse who was going to refinance it, the other one may be going to buy a house, but they're still on the mortgage. And the mortgage doesn't go away just because a divorce decree says they're no longer responsible. It's still on the credit report. It still has to be paid. And we're still going to look at that as a debt, and it's going to go into their debt to income ratio. So it can create, I've seen it create some real headaches for people who are trying to do what the decree said, but they just didn't know they couldn't do it because they didn't check ahead of time.
It's also important to know that if you're getting some kind of maintenance payment or child support, most mortgage companies will not allow you, or they won't actually include it as income until you've had at least 6 months of those payments and you have another 36 months going forward. If you don't know that or you haven't established that, it can delay the time that you're getting the mortgage, which again can hurt the other party.
Yeah, that's one of our biggest issues. Greg and I have talked about that before because it is such a big issue. It does depend. You get the divorce. If you start your child support after the divorce, you have to have 6 months of that. There's some ways you can get it ahead of time so we don't have to wait so long. But it is important. Now, sometimes it doesn't make any difference, as you know. Both people can finance a house. It's no big deal. But a lot of times it does create issues for people, and it makes it a real hardship on them. I know, Greg, you've seen a lot of these cases where the people have maybe one or both have trouble financing a house. And I know your big is you set them up financially to work through all these issues. I actually don't know what question I should be asking here. So maybe you can answer one.
Absolutely. Divorce is just one of those things that most people are going to do once and God forbid twice in their life. And anything that we do for the first time or anything that we do that we just don't normally work with, we're going to run into that old problem of we don't know what we don't know. So Claire just gave some great information there, and it went by fast on the airwaves, about some of the things people need to think about as they negotiate their settlement. And what she said was about 10 things there probably that a lesser talented attorney or someone trying to do this on their own wouldn't know about how to write that settlement agreement to deal with this massive debt that's on the balance sheet. And that's the first thing I tell people is get a professional who knows what they're seeing, because it's very likely you just don't know what you don't know, and that can cause huge problems. Claire and I were talking the other day about a case she's working on. Claire, share that story about a couple that decided for the kids' sake, wife was going to stay in the house. Husband was reasonably amicable to that. Said that's fine. We want everybody to be happy. Gave the wife some time to refinance. And tell us the rest of that story, Claire.
Well, it's one of these situations where your emotions dictate your financial decisions, and it comes to a bad result. As Greg said, I had 3 kids and a wife, and they stayed in the marital home, and husband gave her about a year to refinance. She got new training for a new job, thought everything was going to go along smoothly. However, her career did not pick up. She was not able to continue to pay that mortgage, and actually had a foreclosure filed against her. Got it cleaned up. Okay, I'm going to give you some more time. The husband said, I'm not going to kick my kids out of this house. Unfortunately, again, found herself in that position and couldn't get herself out. By that point, it was too late to get him out as well. I mean, they filed against both of them. He was on the line as well. He was on the mortgage. And at that point, the only thing we could do to get him out of it was to have him take a judgment, what we call in rem, meaning he just had a judgment on the house amount, and she took the rest of the judgment on anything over the mortgage, meaning if they sold the house and she still owed on it, she had a judgment against herself personally. we did that deal knowing that my client was going to take a huge hit on his credit, but it was better than having that debt hanging over his head, which was going to also hurt him later in life when he was trying to get a new home. And that was the best that we could do because he just kept waiting and waiting, and the foreclosure action had gotten to a point where he was stuck. And that's a devastating result for not following that decree to the letter.
And it happens more often than most people think, because as you said at the top, Rick, we assume that this court-ordered divorce decree has the force of ending this marriage, and it does. But the debts that people got into before, while they were married, cannot always be, in most cases, be discharged by that divorce decree. And so getting competent financial and legal advice as you work through these things will solve a lot of problems in the future. And, you know, Claire, tell us a little bit about that issue. So we got some credit cards, and there's a motorcycle loan, and there's a mortgage and a home loan. Some people think, well, if it's just in my name and I take it, then my spouse is clear of that debt. I got a divorce decree. It was only in my name. Talk to us a little bit about what the law says about that.
Well, it really depends on the kind of debt it is. If it's a secured, unsecured credit card, if it is on a car, on a RV, and it really also depends on the company as well. A lot of credit cards.
What, an attorney? And the answer is it depends? hold the phone. We need a moment of silence.
I felt, especially for credit cards, I feel that bigger credit card companies have gotten much better about helping couples either transfer the balance to a new card in that party's name alone, and then not just saying, okay, somebody's going to assume that debt, because if they don't, again, same thing as on the house. The credit card company doesn't care what your decree says. And if you're both on the credit card, you're both on the line for that debt. They'll come after both of you. They're called jointly and severally liable. With a car, same thing. If you guys are both on the car, you have to refinance or you have to pay it off. Otherwise, you're both on the hook. And in divorce, it doesn't matter whose name is in the debt. I mean, we it's all in. We're a one-pot divorce state, meaning anything that you had a debt or you earned before the marriage or during goes in and is divided. There's some exceptions to that, but I'm not going to go too deep into it, or I'll go off into the woods. But yeah. So just remember that we're talking about everything. You have to specifically state in the decree each debt. If you leave something out, we usually have a default clause that says, okay, you're joint tenants with right in common for the asset, or you're jointly and severally liable on the liability.
So in the debts, I mean, obviously what you said is it doesn't really matter. And I think that's one of the things people don't always understand, is that the divorce decree doesn't get you out of your obligation on any debt. And unless you do something with that debt, like what happened mm-hmm. with your client, mm-hmm. they ended up with a foreclosure, which hurts your credit for quite some time. It makes it difficult to get financed. It doesn't make it impossible. It does increase everything. All the costs and rates go up, but it's possible to get a house in that situation. But it is really devastating on the client, I'm sure.
If you don't have legal counsel, I mean, I can put things in your decree to help you and protect you, but not 100%. If somebody decides they're not going to play by the rules, even to get the court to enforce it, it costs money, it costs time, sometimes more money than you're saving. So it's important to get those things done beforehand, have a competent attorney to write the decree correctly, and to make sure that they follow up and enforce that decree before it's too late.
Well, I can already tell, just from the little conversation we've had, is that you are far above most of the attorneys that I end up I end up with the end result of a client thinking that they can, you know, trying to finance a house and the decree is a mess because it isn't doable. They can't do what they all agreed to do. And that's not a good situation. So I can't tell people high enough, unfortunately, if you're going through that situation or if you have any of the other things that you handle, that they should give you a call. And if they did want to call you or talk to you, how would they get a hold of you?
Again, you can go to our website. It's ewnc-law.com. You can just Google my name. That's usually the easiest way. And if you are old-fashioned, if you want to be the boomer of your age, you can do 317-257-8787.
Great. And Greg, how about you? How can they get a hold of you if they have financial needs?
So if they're going through a divorce or not, we do financial planning and help people figure out how to look into the future and organize their finances accordingly. And so gregkeele.com, that's GREGGKEELE.com, or Google Greg Keele. 317-288-5400. Again, that phone number is 317-288-5400.
And I got to say, Greg, with the customers that I've sent to you, I mean, it's just amazing the feedback that I get. You're as good as they get. And if anybody's looking for a financial planner, they need to at least contact you and your team, because they need to find out if what you do is in what they're looking for, because I just don't know if there's anybody out there who does what you do at the level that you do it. And you're phenomenal. And I appreciate that you're on the show so we can get people to somebody who really knows what they're doing.
And in divorces, he's helped me with a lot of cases that we've come to impasse, and we got Greg involved and we were able to get it done.
Awesome.
Wow. Thank you both very much. We put a lot of love and heart in what we do, and the reason I love working with both of you is because I know you do the same. There's one thing to go to work every day and do a job. There's another thing to go and know that we're on a mission to help people and make our little corner of the world a little bit better, and I love working with the two of you because I know you do that.
Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg.
So moving along, is there any other pieces in the divorce that people have to watch for that can come up and be a real problem?
I would say be careful what you're trading out for that asset. A lot of people have a lot of money in a house, and they don't have the cash, and they maybe can't do a cash out refinance, and they try to exchange retirement funds. Really look at your own financial situation, because those are not whole dollars, depending on who's trading them and who's receiving them. I always like cash best, but when that's not a possibility, just make sure that you're paying attention to that. When somebody offers you what you think is equivalent to retirement funds, remember that it's not equivalent to you when it comes out, especially if it's an after-tax 401k money.
This is why Claire's one of the best, because she understands that for most people, the home equity, that $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 in equity that they've built up in this house over the last couple of decades, that's all tax-free. So it's difficult to extract, right? Because we may have to take a loan or sell the house or whatever. But when we do, it's tax-free. When we take money out of that 401k or IRA or 403b retirement plan, we have to pay income tax on every dollar we pull out. For most people, that's going to be a 25 or a 30% discount on each dollar that we pull out. So I pull a dollar out of the home equity, cost me 6% to sell the house, I get 94 cents on every dollar, right? I pull a dollar out of the retirement fund, I might only be getting 70 or 75 cents versus 94. Well, as Claire just said, that's not the same thing.
Right, not so, equivalent.
So if my attorney in the negotiation is saying, well, I'll give you $100,000 of home equity and we'll take $100,000 of 401k. We say yes to that deal every day, right? Because we just got, of the 100,000 we just divided, our 100,000 is worth more.
Right. Which is not something most people would ever think of.
Right.
And I'm sure there's a lot of financial planners who aren't trained in the divorce on financing. I was trying to think of the acronym, but that it was CDFA.
Right.
Is that the right one?
You got it.
And so they need somebody like you who knows exactly how to advise them in the financial part.
Yeah. And the issue we run into is what Claire and I were just talking about. There is like 101. That's the most simple thing. And a lot of people are aware of it, but what they don't know is they're not fully aware of the implications. There are 457B plans. There's two types of 457B plans. You say, well, Greg, they're both 457B plans. They're not the same thing. And they have drastically different implications if you try and take money out of them in a divorce or not, which is going to be different than a 401k, which is going to be different than an IRA. So you may know basically that, oh, one tax-free asset is worth more than one tax-deferred asset. But unless you understand the intricacies of the code, and by the way, the tax law just changed in a major way last week, the Secure Act was passed by Congress. These are things that most people are just not going to know by osmosis or by listening to the radio show or reading something in Forbes magazine, because even if you pick up on one thing, there's probably 20 others that you haven't read about, right? And so that's why we just really encourage people to get informed, get good advice, and go to people with the heart to know that whatever you pay for that advice, you're going to make a lot more on the other side by not making mistakes, by having a settlement that's more tailored to what works for you.
Right. And I've never seen two divorces that were exactly the same. Have you?
Absolutely not.
It just doesn't happen that way, right?
It really doesn't, because, you know, we're all the same. You know, we all walk on two legs and put our pants on one leg at a time. And we're all so different, right? Just go sit in a restaurant and talk to 10 people and you...
you think it's just money and sense, but a lot of times you have to determine the interest that each client has. I mean, money may not be their main motivator. It may be security for their family. It may be looking down the road at a different career path. So yeah, you have to tailor it. And I will tell you, no lawyer has any of those letters after their name. So absolutely call your financial advisor right after you call that divorce attorney.
Right. And the divorce attorney also, because everyone is, all the divorces are different, I know it matters on what attorney you get, that you hire to represent you. And not just from the financial point of view, well, probably is a lot of the financial point of view, but you know, you hear people who go through a divorce and that sounds like they just got raked over the coals. Of course, it's a one-sided conversation, but usually it seems like it's because they had an attorney that wasn't as knowledgeable as you are and understands it and has the experience that you have. Do you see that as a...
I would never want to speak poorly about another attorney. It also can be a personality conflict. I always recommend that even when you've sat down with me, talk to somebody else. I mean, you need to feel comfortable with your divorce attorney. You're going to be sharing not only your livelihood, but your family and some very personal things. So make sure you click, make sure you feel comfortable with them, make sure that they understand your interests and your goals, or else they're not going to be able to advocate for you as zealously as they should. Not because maybe they're not good or knowledgeable. They just don't understand what's motivating you personally.
Wow, that is so important. Well said.
I've had personality conflicts with some of my clients, and you have to recognize that and say, you know what? I have somebody who might be better for you. Just as knowledgeable, but they have a different style, different personality, the way they communicate, just more your speed.
Just and, works better for yeah, them.
Some self-awareness goes a long way in this business.
Yes.
Claire, I the biggest mistake I see, well, I would see if you agree with this or not, but probably the biggest mistake I see people make is they say, Greg, I want a bulldog attorney. I want the meanest, nastiest junkyard dog I can find, because we are going to rip him/her apart because my heart is aching right now and I hurt and I want to leave a path of destruction equal to the terrible way I feel right now. How have you seen that work out for folks? Because I'll tell you how I've seen it.
Basically, they end their divorce broken.
Did you just say broke and broken?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. I have people who come and say that to me all the time, and I said, well, I'm not the lawyer for you. You're going to pay 3, 4, 5 times more in the divorce itself. If you have children, you are wrecking a co-parenting relationship before you even start. Being in a courtroom and throwing mud at each other and then trying to go forward from that and raise a kid together where you're going to have birthday parties and graduations, and especially if they're young children, you're still a family. You're just a different kind of family. So that never serves anyone well, either financially or in keeping your kids healthy and happy, or your own mental health. I've never seen a successful divorce where people walked away and said, I'm really glad I went for that bulldog.
I can tell you I've had the same experience, and we've even had clients fire their very reasonable attorney in the middle and hire a bulldog at the end. And I will tell you, without fail, we may have gotten a slightly better or slightly worse settlement in terms of money, but the path of destruction for both of the hearts of those people and the rest of their family will take decades if it's ever healed. And I've been through a divorce myself, and it was very difficult. I often say I'll go back to that combat tour in Iraq 10 times before I'll go through another divorce. It was really hard. But the one thing we did right was recognize that we were in love once, and tearing each other apart right now is only going to tear apart our relationship with our children. And we didn't do that. And I cannot tell you how hard it was to not lash back and fight when I was in that much pain. And now, 5 years later, I can say that little emotion I had meant nothing compared to how happy and healthy my children are. And they don't have to choose, and they don't have to worry about who mommy's dating or daddy's dating, because there's just no conflict in that. And that was hard work, but boy, I tell you, the best thing someone can do is hire someone like Claire, who's going to listen, help you sort through your priorities of what really matters, and then heal your family through this breakup. Because all relationships end, breakup or death. There's no other option.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's why I'm in the business that I'm in.
And in this case, that's right. Claire does them both, right? And it just doesn't have, it's going to be one of the worst times of your life, but it doesn't have to end your family, and it doesn't have to be awful.
Mm-hmm. People ask me how I do what I do sometimes, and I say, you know, I just work with good people at their absolute worst. Criminal lawyers will say I work with bad people at their absolute best.
Well, Claire, you have on here collaborative law. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you could kind of explain what that is.
Absolutely. Actually, Greg is also a collaboratively trained financial professional. I'm a collaboratively trained legal professional. Collaborative law is relatively new in Indiana, but it's not a new process. It's actually started in Minnesota. It is an interest-based negotiating process where we throw away statutes, the court system, laws per se, and we start from scratch. You have to have two collaboratively trained professionals on either side. You sign an agreement that says we're going to go through this process. We're going to have an open, what we call discovery, which is an exchanging of information, basically. And we have a series of board meetings where you know what the agenda is going to be. We're not going to stick a dynamite and talk about the affair that happened all of a sudden. Everyone knows what's going on. And we try to determine what each individual party needs after the marriage is over to be successful, happy, and healthy. It is not by any means sitting around holding hands. It is a difficult and often painful process. But we tell the court what we're doing. You're not going to hear from us for a while. And we go through as long as it takes to try and determine how we're going to meet both people's needs and form this new kind of family. We get a settlement agreement just like we would in a mediation. We never step foot in a courtroom. And the incentive is that if you come to an impasse and you aren't willing to work it out, or somebody's going to throw down their papers and say, I'm out of here, I'm going to see you in court, everybody has to withdraw. The lawyers, if you brought in professionals like Greg, who are going to be third-party neutrals, you can have a financial professional, a child development professional. You can even have a coach. If the parties have trouble communicating, everybody has to withdraw. All of that work goes down the drain, and they have to go out and hire new counsel. So if you put that much time and effort into it, it helps get through that impasse, that difficult time. And we come out with very collaborative agreements that both parties are very invested in because they created it. And we have a lot less post-dissolution litigation. Child modification, things like that. So it does end up to be less expensive, even though it sounds very expensive because we're bringing in other people. I probably do 10% collaborative law. It just takes a very open-minded individual, both individuals, willing to do the work and willing to look at the other side's perspective, which is very difficult sometimes during that period. But it works. It just really depends on the individuals involved.
Yeah, I've heard it's very good and it's very much easier on people. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but I wanted to thank you both for being here today. I truly appreciate it. Thanks so much. And Claire, could you kind of give them again how they can get a hold of you?
My name is Claire Emsweiler. Emsweiler is Emsweiler. I'm with Emsweiler, Williams, Nolan, and Clark. You can find us online at ewnc-law.com, or you can call our office at 317-257-8787.
Greg?
Give us a Google Greg Keel. Go to gregkeel.com. You can call our office at 317-288-5400. Thanks again, Rick. Wonderful being with you.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate it very much. And thank you for joining us today, and have a great weekend.